From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows. Hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever spooky, ever vampiric, ever cape-wearing, ever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob. I'll take all those good compliments from you for sure. Ready for another exciting episode of Bob After Dark. Of course, Bob After Dark, you just mentioned it, dives into the paranormal, the lore, the mysteries of the universe.
You are the best paranormal hype man I could ever ask for.
I figure I start to beef up this part of the show while we're all sharing things here. But yes, indeed, we are here another week. I can't wait to hear what the topic of the week is. Of course, I don't want to hear about it from me. Nobody wants to hear about it from me. They want to hear about it from you. So,
you know what? I'm gonna, for our April Fool's episode, I'm gonna produce the show, and you're gonna come out here and host it.
That might be that could be arranged. I don't know what would I think I would do Yule Cat maybe
in the middle of April.
Well, you know it's funny because we just had what was yesterday? What holiday was yesterday?
Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day, and he technically is one of the most dangerous cryptids out there, wouldn't you say?
The groundhog's not a cryptid. However, if you guys remember last year, this is dating it, last year we did an episode on Groundhog Day, and the roots of Groundhog Day date back to, like, Native American traditions and potential skinwalkers and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but the groundhog himself, a terrifying winter creature, although I was watching some of that footage and they don't even let the groundhog choose anymore. They, the guy kind of pushes it on him as far as what's going to be 6 more weeks of winter or early spring, but it's not the same anymore. Like he just comes outside and sees the shadow. It's a little more different. So I don't like the new ways of doing things. I'm simple. Let him see his shadow or not.
All right, Count, let's get your weekend update.
Yeah. You know what? This weekend, what did I do this weekend? Yeah. I had some fun this weekend. I just, you know, kind of flew around town and saw what was going on, but other than that, nothing too drastic happening this past weekend, but pretty quiet, nice weekend.
Did you watch the football game yesterday?
I saw some of that. You know, how about that? Did you see it?
I don't watch football.
Not even the Super Bowl.
No, do you know what I was working on yesterday?
What were you doing?
I was working on the show.
Of course.
And that, because I don't take a day off.
Yeah.
And when I wasn't working on the show, I actually watched Groundhog Day.
Did you see the commercial?
I did. It was really good.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Murray filmed that in Woodstock, Illinois.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. What did I do this weekend? I didn't do a whole lot of anything. Very down, low-key kind of a weekend and just hung out, no pun intended.
There you go. Well, you know what? It's not all about, at the end of the day, you know, sports come and go, but Bob After Dark is forever.
Yeah. Hey, guys, if you get a chance click that share button down at the bottom, make sure you guys share the episode out. I would like to see 50 live viewers tonight before the podcast. That's my goal. So
podcast,
you know, you could share it on your personal Facebook page.
Everybody was, I was sharing it. You know, I got an iPhone now, so it's trying to be easier for me to share things around here. You would think with 10 computers around me, I would be able to find out how to make it work, but the iPhone is helping me out these days. Much easier.
Definitely so.
That's not a plug. Are they a sponsor? Apple?
Apple is not a sponsor. Apple! Yeah. If you're looking to sponsor the Paranormal Podcast, Bob After Dark is the show to sponsor.
It's the show to be.
Now, if this is your first time ever watching Bob After Dark, what we do is we cover some lore of the week. This month, we're kicking off a theme month. We're doing Creepypasta Mythos Month.
Creepypasta.
So what we're doing is we're going to talk about creepypastas every week. Throughout,
like spaghetti and macchioli?
Kind of. We'll talk a little bit about that a little later. We're going to talk about, we'll cover a creepypasta story every week. We'll talk about the legend and the story behind it. And then we're going to cover the a little modern, the past take on it. So we're basically pulling an American Gods here, where we talk about past lore versus future lore and the present lore and where we're going as far as legends are concerned, because realistically, this is where the modern legends being born is, stuff like this. Count, you know what you didn't do? You didn't compliment me on my glasses or my new look.
I was going to say your hair, but...
Oh, thank you. I'm wearing my hair down today. I felt cute. Figured I'd host a paranormal podcast.
So, but you're saying it's not your hair. It's your actual... You change your glasses.
I'm changing up the entire look. Like, I'm, you know, free spirit on Bob After Dark. So if this is your first time ever listening to us on podcast land, make sure you leave us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcasts. Leave a nice comment, because me and Panic check out all the comments that come through. So make sure you guys leave a 5-star comment. And if you guys are going to call in, you can call into the live show and hear yourselves on the podcast version, 219-845-1100. We're taking phone calls from now until the end of the show. You can call in tomorrow if you want to talk to Bob After Dark, but I won't be here.
That'd be spooky if that happened.
Somebody calls in the Jeb show in the morning.
You never know, it could happen. Ghost.
Another thing that we do here on Bob After Dark, which we're going to dive into right now, is we cover some weird, spooky, paranormal, futuristic, scientific news of the week. What I do is I take news articles from submissions from viewers like you, and I deep dive onto the internet looking for stories to cover. So, without further ado, are you ready to dive right into the episode of the week?
I am ready. Let's hit it.
All right. So, our first story comes to us from the world, because typically when I share these stories, they're absolutely depressing. We never have any good stories, so I'd like to actually have a good story for once to kick off. Usually it's somebody dying. I mean, there's good stories. There's good modern medicine advances, but usually it's like some hidden virus in a glacier that's going to kill everybody off. Or AI is growing to a huge intelligence that's going to kill everybody
problem,
off.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kick off this week with a positive note. One of my favorite war-based actors turned 50 years old yesterday.
Who's that?
Warwick Davis.
Okay.
He played, do you know who Warwick Davis is?
He's playing, he was a leprechaun, right?
He was the leprechaun, and he was also the, not a Jawa, oh my God, the Queen of Night, the pick on me,
the
Ewoks.
Okay.
He played an Ewok in Return of the Jedi.
Really? Okay.
But he also played in Willow.
Okay.
Have you seen Willow?
Man, what's that? Which one was that?
That's the fantasy movie from the 80s. Baby.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I know him as the leprechaun more so, though. That's his most famous role, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. The Ewok.
Yeah, but the Ewok, he was just a... It's hard to distinguish who was who in the Ewoks, right?
Right. Well, he was the main one.
He was the main Ewok.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's the difference right there.
But
you didn't say he was the main Ewok.
The reason why I bring it up on Bob After Dark is because he played in Leprechaun, which, despite it being a goofy horror movie, they actually nailed the lore of leprechauns pretty well. And they did a very good job researching the movie and kind of implementing fey lore and leprechaun lore into the horror aspect. So, as a kid, I liked it because it was a gory horror movie. But as an adult and doing what I do now, it's pretty cool that he was also in Harry Potter. Thanks, Bobby and James. He also was... They did a lot of research in the fey lore, and they brought leprechauns into the silver screen and like did it spookily, which is what leprechauns are. We're going to be getting a fey lore month next month, but the only leprechaun exposure we probably ever had was Lucky from Lucky Charms.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, he's not that happy-go-lucky thing. Leprechauns are extremely tricky, fearsome creatures, especially a certain one from Alabama, but that's a story for another day too.
Well, that's well, happy birthday to him. I mean, that movie's a classic right there.
All right. So moving into my next story, which I want to point out female empowerment on this one. This story comes to us from Western Russia, where a tomb was discovered. And when they peeled away the tomb coverings and they went inside, they found skeletons of what they're believing are taller than average women, buried with things like spears, arrowheads, and horse riding equipment. They're theorizing that it was an Amazonian grave. So the idea Wonder Woman, right? Wonder Woman's
Amazon warrior,
but that those tribes, that specifically her, that's like a fictional story, right? But it's pretty cool because we hear stories of like female warriors in other cultures, but now they found like a legitimate tomb where these women were like fierce fighters and battlers. I think Mothman's outside blowing the horn, blowing his horn at the car.
So these were, and these, how tall can these women get here?
What's that?
How tall were these women?
They're very tall for the time. So scientists are still working it out right now. But the earliest skeleton in there, they're believing to be 12 and 13 years old. And the oldest was about 40 to 50. Hmm. Like years of age when perished. So this is very cool. Scientists are working on this now because this is kind of an underlying culture that we've never really discovered before and let alone studied.
Women like that would pick us up and carry us over their shoulder, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. And I'm all about the empowerment, so good on you guys.
And they would carry us across the land there.
Absolutely.
Amazon.
An Amazon tomb, yeah. Of all things. I'm happy to hear that.
Amazing.
So my next story is actually a follow-up to one we talked about some weeks ago. Several weeks ago, we were talking about the cow mutilations in Oregon. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Well, more cows were slain over the weekend in Oregon.
Okay.
Strangest ways. These things were ripped apart, picked clean, ripped limb to limb.
What's going on?
And they still have no idea. The conservation officers, conservation, that's the term, the forest police, they're looking at it and they're baffled. It's not like any wolf attack they've ever seen or a bear attack. This thing literally picked cattle clean. It's very, very similar to stories you hear about like dogman attacks.
I say, it can't be Bigfoot or anything like that. I mean, he wouldn't do that. So. Got to be something else.
I mean, well, Bigfoot are known to be very strong and aggressive creatures.
Really? But not like they would just attack a cow out of nowhere. The Bigfoots I know aren't that like that.
How many Bigfoots do you know? Big feet. Sasquatch eye?
Yeah, I know a few. They don't like to be talked about, though, too much. They like to be very private. Hidden.
That's fair. My last, you know what? I haven't gotten at all. I've completely skipped this over, and you haven't yelled at me yet. Neither has any of our fans in the chat. Panic's take.
Oh, I've kind of been. I feel like I've been commenting along the
whole time. No. It's not the same if I don't get the hashtag. Well, Panic's take
for the last story. Like I wanted.
Let's start from the beginning.
All right.
Happy hashtag Warwick Davis's birthday.
Happy birthday, Leprechaun. A great movie. A fantastic movie. Now, was he the only... Was that the first one that he was done? Or
I think Warwick Davis was the actor for the entire series.
Okay, so he kept going with it. All right, well, good for him. So yes. Happy birthday to him. Leprechaun's a great, fantastic movie. Now, wait, what's the next story again? My memory.
The Amazon tomb.
Amazon, yes. Once again... You know, I'm not the tallest guy, but the city's Amazon women now confirmed with this tomb thing. That's a spectacle right there. That's something to talk about right
Yes.
there. And three, I'm want to defend Bigfoot's honor here. I don't think it's Bigfoot. I go with your approach, Dogman. It seems
Dogman werewolf attack.
Yeah,
okay.
way more vicious than I think of Bigfoot. So I don't think Bigfoot would do that to any cows.
All right. My last story is actually a wholesome story from... Are you there?
Indiana?
No. Oh. Well, anyway, so there was a gentleman who was a dedicated bird watcher who's been leaving out food for a family of crows for many, many years. And one day, he went outside and he found, like, fir branches pushed between pop taps.
Okay.
As if they left it to him as a gift.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I don't get to share wholesome stories on here very much either. I thought it was very interesting.
Well, yeah, that is very wholesome. So,
and he's found other, like, weird shiny gifts and stuff left around the backyard. But the pictures he took of the fir branches, he's calling it a legitimate, like, works of art that these crows were leaving behind.
Do you want my take?
Yes.
I'm going to give it to you right now. Well, that's a very nice story. Don't they say pets bring you... offering. The animals bring you offerings, like a cat or a dog. And that's even though it might be a dead mouse sometimes or whatnot, when they drop it off to you, that's a sign of respect and compassion there. But with the art aspect of it, you know, these animals are quite the artists themselves. I mean, look at those elephants that paint, right? They're great painters, these elephants. So these birds have the same
elephants
knack.
Paint?
Well, have you saw those videos of these elephants painting with their tusk and whatnot? They do that sometimes. So it's kind of nice back and forth. They're artistic animals. What can we say?
That's fair.
Yeah.
You have a guest next to you.
Yeah, it's Josh right there.
Hi, Josh. Welcome to the Bob After Dark studio.
He likes spooky stuff.
Josh
as well.
Is one of the WJOB people.
Yeah.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Josh, how you doing?
I'm good.
Did you happen to catch the story about the crows? Or did you listen at all? Did you hear it coming
in? No, I did not. We just left from Calumet.
All right, you're fired, Count. We're going to get hashtag Josh's take.
Josh's take.
All right, Josh, so I'm going to go over the news stories. I want the quick one, this news story right here, and I want your take on it.
Okay.
So this guy has been an avid bird watcher, and he saw a family of crows living in his backyard. And for the past 10 years, he'd leave these crows little offerings, gifts, food, et cetera, things to keep them warm and be sure they're fed. And all of a sudden, the crow family has kind of disappeared. And they've been leaving behind instead little gifts. And the one thing that he was blown away by was they were taking these bigger pop tabs and they were shoving fir branches into the pop tabs. And he's calling them works of art. So what is Josh's take on the crow gifts?
That's kind of weird, though, honestly.
Did you expect crows to be
like, where's that from? Like, where did that take place?
That's a great question. I don't know. I didn't write that down.
I'm going to say Indiana. Indiana crows are pretty generous.
Someone that's watching live will chime in the chat and let me know. But, no, I think it was right here in America, actually. Hmm. So
when they say people are bird brain, that's a compliment because these birds are obviously smart.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at the lore behind crows and ravens, I'll kind of rope them into the same thing. Typically, they're very bad omens, but crows and ravens have been familiars of witches in the pagan community alike for a very long time. If you look at the story of Odin, the Allfather, which was the big papa of Asgardian lore, the Viking lore, his familiars that he had around with him were flocks of crows and ravens. So the stories of them hanging around the witchy type for many, many years, and the fact that they have the intelligence doesn't surprise me at all. And the fact that you can, you know, train a crow to kind of move around and, you know, do these things is very interesting. But the fact that they're able to make these, quote, pieces of art are very interesting indeed.
What's the nicest thing an animal has ever done for you, Bob?
I mean, they make me happy.
Ever give you any gifts, like make you anything or whatnot?
No.
Yeah, well, you got to meet the right crows, I guess.
The cats I have around the house, they're very, they bring me joy.
I met those cats before.
You'd have.
And you know what? The cats, like I said, the cats still leave mice at your doorstep, but that's not a bad thing. That means they're saying hi, and they want you to have this offering.
Well, my cats do not leave anything behind except hairballs and
I'm
such.
I'm sure they still like you, Bob.
But yeah, going back to birds, birds are pretty smart. Think about it. Not crow story and then parrots. Parrots be able to talk back to you and all that. So, hey, birds probably have bigger brains than what we think.
Thanks. Would you like to introduce who you are, by the way, because I threw you
Oh, I am Josh Beaudry. I am second year at PNW. I'm a producer. Do a little bit of what Tony does. A little bit more, actually. So.
Hey, Bob's a PNW graduate as well.
I am a PNW. Yeah. Well, back in my day, it was PUC.
His picture's on the wall.
You know, we could probably get you a cape, too. Maybe we could give him your...
We'll get double the cape.
Count man. Josh,
Double the counts, double...
Well, we're happy to have you join us for the bit. I'm sorry for throwing you into the mix here.
I just stopped by real quick. I had to drop some stuff off, so...
How about that? Get thrown into a live show.
Get thrown right into the Bob After Dark verse. My my fans might be making like up weird tales about you as we speak because that's how they like to do things.
Yeah.
They may be yelling at me to get you a cape now because they were yelling at me getting panic a cape.
We should sell capes. That's the price. I think we – $50 a cape, you think that would be a good price?
We could sell capes.
A Bob After Dark capes?
Yeah, $50.
That might be the next bit of merch I have to roll out.
Think about it.
We have our own store now.
Technically,
I have merch. The Bob After Dark shop should be opening up very soon. I'm working on that as we speak. But anyway, let's dive right into The lore of the week.
Let's hear it.
All right. Before we continue, no one's called yet. Our phone lines are open. 219-84-
We'll take a phone call right now, I guess. You want to do it live on the air?
Of course.
Let's take it live on the air.
Hi, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, John. That's kind of strange that I guessed that somebody was calling in. I had no idea.
You got ESPN there.
ESP.
Sure.
ESPN.
ESPN. It's all insane. But, hey, anyway, you guys were talking about crows and birds in general.
Yes.
Last week, I seen a hawk, big old bird on top of a neighbor's tree. So it attacked the squirrel, obviously, and, you know, got rid of him pretty fast. So next day, it was on that tree again. So out of concern, you know, hearing that hawks will, you know, attack dogs, which I have, you know, a little beagle and possibly people. I called the Lake County Department of Natural Resources just to get some information about them. And she said, just enjoy it. She says that, you know, I said, well, you know, how did it come up, you know, come to be that it's like in a residential, you know, not in a wooded area. And she said that if people have bird feeders out there, then is there time to nest now? So they're looking for food, and, you know, which obviously she mentioned basically the squirrels are their main attack, but they will not come after children or people or even dogs or cats. That's kind of like a rumor, I guess. So she just said, you know, just enjoy it, you know, watch it, enjoy it. So I did a little, you know, research on them, and they said that hawks represent the messengers of the spirit world.
That is very true. A lot of native tribes pick the hawk as like their main spirit animal.
I mean, I'm not familiar with the, you know.
Sure.
I thought it was strange that it would be, you know, in my, you know, on my block, not in, you know, like I said, in a, you know, more so maybe by the Little Calumet River area where it's, you know, where nature runs wild. But yeah, it's supposedly it you know, represents some type of, like I said, you know, spirit or whatever. I'm not sure if you're familiar with, you know, what the hawk represents.
Well, I can tell you that some tribes picked hawks as their major spirit animal, or you see them a lot of portrayed on totem poles. Hawks are a very Americanized kind of a creature, very native to the American area. So, yeah, it's definitely something. A lot of people believe that hawks represent, like, the spirit of the warrior, very strong. So.
Well, it is a beautiful bird. Like,
oh, sure.
Said, like she said, just enjoy it. Obviously, we couldn't, you know, we're not... It's up in a tree, so it's not that it's, you know, it could be captured or anything. But, you know, my concern was that, like I said, I have a dog that a lot of times I let out in the front that because he's pretty good, and I don't, you know, I don't want this bird to attack or anything like that. But it disappeared, but I thought I'd bring it up since you guys are talking about, you know, subject of the birds there. So.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for calling in, John.
All
always
right,
a pleasure.
Bob. Have a good evening.
You too. Guys, you want to? John calls in every week just about. I think I've only missed John once or twice since I've been on air. Do you want to be like John and hear your voice live on air or on the podcast version? Give us a call, 219-845-1100. You guys can call in, tell us your paranormal experiences, ask us questions about your paranormal experiences. Or you could tell us that we're full of crap, that Patrick from Ghostly calls in usually and tells us about skeptic points of view on things. So 219-845-1100. You're looking a little perplexed.
I gotta
over
say,
there.
You know, it was kind of hawks are these big birds here, but you know, remember of people in the Chicagoland area, the most terrifying bird was Eagle Man because he was showing the low rates, but he was still terrifying while he was doing it.
We lost 98% of the audience.
Eagle
like,
Man?
What's an Eagle Man?
You remember Eagle Man,
I
right?
remember Eagle Man. Well, I grew up in the Chicagoland area.
Look at those
so.
Low rates.
The low
he
rates.
Sell you low, he had eggs that low rates would pop out of.
Yes, I'm familiar. I remember Eagle Man.
Terrifying bird.
All right, let's dive right into the lore of the week.
Sure.
And this week, I wanted to kick off a themed month.
Okay.
Because those are my favorite months to do shows when we have a theme, because I have boom, boom, boom. I could pick out a topic and I'm ready to go versus just throwing a dart at a dartboard and be like, what are we talking about? So this month we're talking about creepypastas. Do you know what a creepypasta is, Count Panic?
Now, a creepypasta sometimes is when I go to the Olive Garden, I order a spaghetti that doesn't sit right with me.
Ah, no.
Okay.
A creepypasta is taken from an old online term, copypasta.
Okay.
Which is where you would take like this long block of text and copy and paste it over to a forum to be annoying. But in this case, it would be spooky based, and you get the term creepypasta instead of copypasta. And some of these people that are writing these spooky online stories are creating legends and myths. What's up?
I've seen these before.
You have?
Yes. These are like the video games where there's bloodshot eyes in the
yes,
video games.
You are absolutely correct.
The cartoons that are wrong. And stuff
there
like
are
that.
A lot of not very good ones.
Now, these are real, or are these just fan fictions? Or is that for the mind and makeup?
It's mostly up to the mind, and we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that in a little bit. But I will say that what these people are creating now, the ones that are creating really good creepypastas and these modern day legends and myths, these people are creating the now things like cryptids and ghost stories and the legends, right? So if you are a skeptic and you do not believe in any kind of the paranormal, which I totally am not. I'm a believer, right? Sorry, you're a believer. I like to think.
True believer.
You're a true believer. So am I. Hopeful. I am a believer. Anyway, so these people that are writing these creepypastas are creating these legends that 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the line, they're going to be telling stories like this character that we're talking about tonight down the line and being like, have you guys ever heard of that character?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, tell me about it. And it's not going to be much different than you ever heard what happened in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. So these creepypastas that people are writing about now are going to be featured on those paranormal shows down the line, being like, where did the myth come from? Where's the story? So I give these people a lot of credit, because some of these stories that these people are creating online are absolutely horrifying and can legitimately, you know, be scary and keep you creeped out for the evening.
I know. I saw somebody show me these creepypastas before.
Now, keep in mind, not all of them are good. Just not like every legend out there is good.
I guess so, yeah. Some of them are kind of, you know, but they make you want to go back and watch some things that you might have missed.
Like, yeah.
There's a lot of Pokemon ones out there, right?
There are a lot of Pokemon ones. Yeah. I remember our Fearsgiving episode number one, this was two Novembers ago, we covered what made me afraid the most, and what I fear the most is actually a Pokemon creepypasta.
What was the song?
The Hypno's Lullaby.
Lullaby, okay.
That messed me up. That still messes me up to this day. So I wanted to talk and cover a couple of these characters this month and compare them to lore creatures of the past and perhaps where the origins of them originate. And are they potentially real?
Who's to say?
Who's to say? Well, we'll get to that. The first character I wanted to talk about for Creepypasta Month was probably the Mac Daddy of all Creepypasta characters. This guy has not only surpassed the level of Creepypasta fandom, he's had video games made about him, he's made movies made about him, and has made, unfortunately, national headlines about him. This week on Bob After Dark, we are talking about the Slender Man.
Oh, now this is the kids love this one. The kids, I remember when I was growing up, even high school, that's when he first started coming about, college and whatnot. Slender Man, you got to be careful of Slender Man in the woods, particularly in the woods. That's what I remember there, Bob.
Let me take you back. The year was 2012, Your friends are daring you to play this PC game called Slender, the 8 pages. Maybe you've been dared because you're a brave soul. Maybe you've been tricked. Your friend's telling you something like, hey, this game is brutal hard. Can you even try to collect some of these pages? Either way, you are now playing said game. It's a first-person view, and the character is wandering around the woods, hunting down mysterious pages with cryptic messages. You keep noticing a pattern, things like written on there, always watching, and a symbol with a circle with an X through it. Once you collect a couple of these pages, the screen turns static because it's a very boring game to begin with. And you turn around, and you are face to face with a faceless humanoid figure wearing a suit and a red necktie. Black tentacles emerge from his back, and your character dies in game. You freak out. This literally came from nowhere. What just happened to you, maybe? Well, you were just hunted and killed by the mysterious creature known as the Slender Man. Did you like that?
I did like that.
Oh, thank you.
I'm spooked out over here.
I practiced. Where did this creature come from? Why was it just some random game encounter? Well, it goes beyond a video game. People claim that they've been seeing this entity for generations. Photos were popping up claiming that this creature was completely real, even dating back into the 1600s. There was even a very unfortunate, horrendous crime done in the name of this entity in Wisconsin. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But where did all this come from? Why all this mass hysteria? Well, children of night, that's what we're going to look into. This is the paranormal truth behind Slender Man. The real origin behind Slendy, I'll call him Slendy for short here, is not so much paranormal as it is just a result of a very talented online creator. The year was 2009, and an online forum known as the Something Awful Forum was around. Basically, it was just a, did you really have to put that up?
Yeah, spooky,
without
warning?
Jeez, for our online viewers, yeah. You are looking at exactly what we're talking about, the Slender Man.
No, but I saw there's different variations, but he's always slender in each variation, which makes sense. He's not unslender, man.
Well, there was an online forum called the Something Awful Forum, which, much like any other online forums, it's just a place where people write and post things. And a man by the name of Victor Surge replied to a paranormal Photoshop challenge. He posted 2 photos of children haunted by a tall, shadowy figure with tentacles for arms and a block of strange text that read, "We didn't want to go. We didn't want to kill them. But its persistent silence and stretched out arms horrified and comfort us at the same time." 1983. Photographer unknown. Presumed dead. For weeks following, Surge continued to post doctored images and fake newspaper clippings with childlike drawings of the mythical creature. Over time, more and more people joined in on the mythos. Things like sightings. Things like, I've seen it in my dreams. Things like, I've heard about it. Look at this hieroglyphic that happened to be found in some Egyptian tomb. And it just kept going from there. Because his creation was a group effort after Surge initially did it, characteristics change a lot. Some say he disembowels his victims and bagging their organs. Other times he compels people to kill themselves or kill each other. From there, the legend grew, and Slendy was now becoming a major part of pop culture. And when I mean major part of pop culture, we're talking legitimately huge. In recent times, as far as the paranormal community is concerned, we talk about this regularly, but the paranormal scene has grown tremendously over the past many years, right? Things like Mothman are now getting multiple Travel Channel specials. It has an entire festival dedicated. Yeah. Sasquatch has multiple festivals dedicated to it. There's paranormal TV shows. So the idea of these things are growing substantially. And Slender Man was no different. We are talking about him having a video game, several video games made about him, and even a movie, which came out a couple of years ago. And there was even a very popular YouTube series called Marble Hornets, which I recommend everybody out there to go give a watch. It's actually really well done, especially if you're into the Slender Man mythos. So case closed, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Those sightings were fake. No dude stalking the woods and eating children. But what if I told you that this fictional character maybe have some basis in reality? Or things that we report on, even causing crimes. And what I'm about to tell you guys is a very horrendous story, trigger warning, not good stuff. It has at least a decent ending where we'll get to it. I'm going to explain the story. 2014 in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Two 12-year-old girls lured their best friend out into the woods where they stabbed her 19 times to appease Slender Man and become proxies of the creature. Luckily, the attackee survived and the attackers were sentenced to many years in psychiatric wards. I want to point out that this is not a joking matter. There is no positives that ever come from stories like this, and there is a level where you take the paranormal a little far. And where you take things into mental illness becomes a point. So I wanted to take a break from the show real quick and tell you guys that even though I'm reporting on the Slender Man and even though I'm telling you guys a story, I wanted you to be aware of where the line has to be drawn. Situations like this are real, and real people were affected by this horrendous tragedy. Luckily, she survived. That's where I'd like to leave that at. So
I remember this story when it came out there, and yeah, it was a horrible story, very horrible indeed, taking it really too far. And I remember the whole thing of whether they're going to try it as adults or not. But
yeah, but that's a story for another time.
Yeah,
the true crime podcast community has covered this story mm-hmm. quite a bit. I'm just wanting to tell you guys
part of history.
It's part of the history of the story of Slender Man. However. All this being said, right, I started digging up some research on what Slender Man can actually be and what kind of lore it drives from. And I've come up with a few different theories of what Slender Man could be. My first one I wanted to talk about was a tulpa. And we'll talk about what tulpas are in another episode, because that's a topic in and of itself. But I'll give you guys a quick, brief description of what a tulpa is. The idea that something can be created by putting energy into something. And think of it as lots of attention from him, from his game and online and the movies and the talks and the creepypastas. Enough people got frightened, enough people put negative energy out, and had enough oomph to it to basically create a tulpa in the form of Slender Man. Does that make sense?
I'd say it makes sense, yeah.
So the idea is, again, this is a topic for another episode, but the baseline is there were monks that would practice these tulpa studies. And the idea is that they would put all of their thought and their spirit and all of this energy into a living doll. And the doll would, it's more of like a statue, would get up and move around the room. Or they would put all of their meditative state into one singularity of a thought, and that thought would come to life.
Hence, bring on this.
Right.
Slender Man.
So the idea with the Slender Man being a tulpa, if people are seeing legitimately sightings of a tall man in the woods with a suit and tie on, sprouting black tentacles and wandering around claiming victims, if this thing was real, that would be my number one explanation for what it could have potentially been. Enough people thought about it, enough people knew what it was, and enough people were hyper-focused on being alone that that's in the woods, that that's just legitimately what came of it. A lot of people actually believe that a lot of our cryptids are actually just tulpas, like the Mothman, for example.
Well, I'm looking at some stuff on my phone here, just the images. Now, I was not aware of this multiple arm thing that this thing had. Multiple arms, correct?
Like tentacles coming out of his back.
I just thought he was a very slender man, but I'm looking at photos here after you mentioned it. You're right, there are some of that action going on. So that's extra creepy.
Yes.
So you're saying that this was just kind of put in the thought processes out there, and hence this thing just comes into fruition.
It's very plausible.
All right.
My next theory is our old theory that always relates back to everything, demons.
Okay.
I swear, this is the easiest way to blame anything spiritual and supernatural. It was a demon. But hear me out. Lowly demon comes across a group of people and appears to them as the one thing that they want it to be real. Demons with enough power can come to you in any form. That's why you always need to be careful. Spirits can come across as anything and however they want to be. So, that's why Ouija boards are as dangerous as they are, or any form of spiritual communication, if you don't know what you're doing. You communicate with a spirit, said spirit can say whatever it wants, it can come across however it wants, and it can be a legitimately could say anything. In this case, group of people contact spirit realm and say they want to talk to Slender Man. Demon walking around in the etherical plane overhears and says, hey, I could be the Slender Man guy. Not so hard. Wear a suit. Sprout some tentacles. Slender. There you go. Yeah. So if people are legitimately seeing said creature, plausible, it's a demon in physical form that was brought to us by somebody calling out to that said entity.
Possible.
Third one, some sort of fae creature.
Like a leprechaun.
Yeah, or fairy in general.
Sure.
And this is a bit more of a, this one's a bit more of something that we're going to talk about next week. Or not next week, I'm sorry, next month with Faye. But pops in and out of pocket dimensions and people disappear. May not actually be dead, but not out of the realm of reality that it's dragging them back to the green or where fairies come from. And Faye are known to take, you know, you think of fairies, you know, you think of these beautiful creatures that come from gardens. And that's true. There are a level of fae that have those appearances. There's also a level of fae that are absolutely horrifying and have terrifying backgrounds, and that is why I sleep with an iron crowbar. Facts.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah, it's your story. You should all be sleeping with an iron crowbar. So that's my other theory. It's some sort of fae creature that could have been, you know, might have popped up. Now, there are a lot of doctored history on this entity dating all the way back to the 1600s. There does exist paintings from the Slender Man imposed. There's a famous one. Have you ever, you might have seen it before, where the knight in there, there's a knight with a lance lancing a demon. It's a very famous Renaissance painting.
Okay.
And somebody doctored the painting. Instead of a lance, it was an arm stretched out, and the knight was fighting off this creature. Again, case closed. This gentleman has come out and said, I created Slender Man to be a H.P. Lovecraftian creature or something straight from a Stephen King novel. But people still believe that what they're seeing and what they saw was real. And my number one theory behind what they're seeing, if it's not a tulpa, which if Slender Man was a tulpa, we'd have bigger problems. What people could potentially be seeing is the man with the hat, a shadow person himself.
That's from, I remember.
We talked about it back in the Viewer's Choice Month back in August, but I'll give you guys a quick rundown if this is your first time ever hearing about shadow people or man in the hat. Shadow people are this concept that there's these etherical beings that appear to you typically when you awake from sleep paralysis and you feel this entity in the room near you, on you, physically harming you. You walk into a room in the middle of the night, even not sleep paralysis. The most famous of these cases is a creature, a being, called the man with the hat. And it's exactly the way it sounds. And I've seen the man with the hat before once a long time ago. I was younger. But in the corner of a room, and people have seen this wide awake, and they've seen the man with the hat, they go and they look outside and they see him standing in a backyard or in the woods or on a bridge, whatever. It's this faceless creature. Now tell me if this doesn't sound correct or if this sounds familiar. A faceless humanoid entity standing with a tall collared coat, wearing some sort of hat with absolutely no face. Now tell me that doesn't sound very familiar to what we were just talking
about.
Sounds
very familiar. Very familiar.
So that's my biggest theory on the Slender Man of what he potentially could be. I truly believe that what people are seeing when they think they're seeing him is indeed a shadow person, or in worst cases, the man with the hat. Because in my professional opinion, shadow people and the man with the hat are two separate things. I believe they're the same, they come from the same place, but the man with the hat is a lot more powerful and a lot more prominent, which is why I believe that he would be what, if you look out into the woods, and as I turn around, I hope there's no Slender Man standing right behind me in the studio here. I truly believe that what they're seeing is that man with the hat.
Well, it's interesting because this, unlike many other cryptids or lore we talk about on this show, Slender Man has a kind of a cult following of video games and just like stories and stuff. Like, I guess the best creepypasta there is, right?
So I would say so.
Most famous, certainly.
Now, somebody's chiming in the chat. Jacob is saying, "Is he like Bagul?" Bagul was a creature from a movie. I don't believe that Bagul is an actual piece of lore. I could be wrong, but I might be wrong on that one. But Slender Man is a legitimately horrifying creature who, I truly believe is a work of fiction. I don't believe that Slender Man actually exists. If he does, he is most likely one of the few things I mentioned. The creator himself outright came and said it. So my question to you, and my question to my fans, and you guys can still call in because we got a couple minutes left in the show, 219-845-1100. What do you think people are seeing? Do you believe that they're seeing something? Or do you believe it's just enough fear to make them believe that they're seeing something? I believe we got another caller.
Yeah, we'll just take it live. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Jack.
Hey, Jack, how are you?
Pretty good. And yourself?
Hold on, Jack. We're going to turn up your volume a little bit there because you're a little on the quiet side. Can you say hello again?
Hello.
Hey, so how you doing tonight, Jack? Where are you calling from?
Chicago.
Hey, is this Jack from last week?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
All right, Jack, let me hear your theories on what you think Slender Man is.
Okay, so I want to recommend two books about Slender Man. It's Slender Man is Coming, which it's by Trevor Blank, and also Slender Man by Nick Redfern. And these two guys collect stories about actual sightings of Slender Man. So the book that I wanted to say that the book that I'm writing is actually about a creepypasta, or I should say similar to a creepypasta, because they're called crawlers. And there's a community on Reddit that that talks about crawlers. And so crawlers are similar to a creepypasta called the Rake. And what they are creatures that are about 6 to 7 feet tall. They're pale, they're hairless, and they kind of just hunch around and or crawl around. So what my book explores is it explores sightings, actual sightings of these creatures. And I got really interested in it because of Slender Man. A lot of Slender Man reports, but a lot of people were writing about Slender Man. And I noticed that these crawlers were getting a lot of not getting a lot of attention, and so I became really interested in crawler sightings. They're usually sighted in rural places, a lot of them in Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, usually in southern states as well. And it's really interesting because, you know, crawlers, it really begs the question, what came first, the myth or the monster? You know, either one is pretty fantastic. The former implies that this fictional creation has sprung to life from the collective unconscious, to use a Carl Jung term, from the countless retelling of creatures that created a thought form. The latter suggests that these creatures have existed for a very long time in our world and etched its way into our minds as some sort of archetype. And I think that's what these creatures are, that they are archetypes. They've always actually existed, but it's our thoughts that are making them manifest. Because why aren't other creepypastas manifesting? You know, like there's other creepypastas like The Rooms, the Russian sleep experiment, Jeff the Killer. It's really Slender Man and the Rake or crawlers that are being cited. And I want to say another thing. Earlier you said you were talking about the tragedy with those two girls, attempted a murder, because they said that they were proxies of Slender Man. And you had stated that, you know, that there's a fine line between, you know, entertainment and the paranormal. And I would actually add to that, and I would say that we need to take that into account when talking about the paranormal in general, because we often forget that people actually see these things, and they're terrified of these things. Some of the people that I interviewed that have seen these crawlers were terrified. This one woman I talked to, she was crying while telling me that she saw one of these things. And it's extraordinary because it's known as a fictional creepypasta, but people are seeing them all over the country, all over the world, as a matter of fact. I've talked to several people about this. So I just, you know, wanted to put my two cents in that and kind of give a comparison between, you know, crawlers and Slender Man. And
hey, I really appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate you. I really appreciate you adding to that too, Jack. That's very, very good of you. It's tragedies are tragedies, and sometimes there's a link between paranormal and reality and entertainment. And I really appreciate you calling and adding that. And when should we be expecting that book out by?
I'm hoping by midsummer.
Excellent. As soon as you get that book out, let me get a copy. We're going to have you interviewed and come on the show so we can talk about it, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in, Jack. Jack is...
there you go.
Jack's one of our local paranormal historians from the Chicagoland area, and he's very, very knowledgeable when it comes to a lot of things. So I really appreciate him being a fan and tuning in and chiming in.
He had a good take on it there. Yeah.
What's your take? What's the Panic's take on Slender Man, unless we have another call? Because we're looking at the phone boards.
No, but you could. 219-845-1100. But you could, you know, of course, I said, you know, in college there was a lot of murmurs about Slender Man, video games, books, and whatnot. But you know what? I got to thinking, too. Sometimes it might just be a tall guy messing around with people in the woods. You ever think about that? Like, what a way to get to people. Just doing that. That's kind of a dirty thing to do. But you see people dress up as Bigfoot and whatnot, try to spook some people. And there's been cases like that with Slender Man, I'm sure, right?
Sure, just like the clown scare a few years ago.
That's true, those clowns.
We're just going to take a caller live.
Take a call live. Caller, you're on the air.
You're on the air.
Oh, hey there, guys.
Oh, hey there. I'm going to assume by voice this is James from Peoria.
Are you psychic?
Just familiar with voices. James, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm all right. How are you guys?
Doing great. What's on your mind tonight, James?
Well, you know, I was just kind of thinking about the whole Slender Man thing, and I'm very glad that the girl who got lured into the woods did make it. But what if Slender Man could be sort of like a gray alien trying to assimilate while he's stuck here on Earth?
That is another good theory that I didn't really put in the thought, either extra-dimensional or extraterrestrial. I don't see why not.
You know, just a thing. I mean, with the whole enough belief in something makes it real, I'm kind of on the fence on that because from personal experience, putting enough energy into something has manifested things for me a lot of times. But at the same time, can you really manifest something actually tangibly there, or is it more of a mass hysteria or mass suggestion sort of thing?
Tulpas are tricky things. If it was a group of people, a large group of people all believing in the same thing, it could be psychological, and it very much could be just mass hysteria, like you said. The stories I've heard about the Tibetan monks that were causing the statues to appear and move around, that's more of a physical thing that they've created. I don't know. I really don't. Extra-dimensional, extraterrestrial is a very good theory, though, that I, to be completely honest with you, I didn't even think about. So I appreciate your thoughts on that. Especially,
well, yeah, you gotta figure if it's something trying to fit in and it's abducting people, maybe it's trying to learn by dissection. That's how we've historically learned about different creatures that we see as lower creatures.
And the other thing is, it would make sense about the tuxedo.
Yeah. You know, maybe its first victim was a New York businessman lost out in the woods.
And it's very much that the gentleman who wrote about it, the search gentleman, might have been a very normal guy who had a thought and might have heard about it. You know, it's plausible. I appreciate your input on that, James.
Yeah, so I've got a quick question for you with the news of the week.
Hit me.
Has Warwick Davis ever visited Mobile, Alabama?
I don't know. I appreciate the question. I'm not friends with Warwick Davis. I bumped into him at Star Wars Celebration once, but I'm not friends with him, though. I'll reach out to him and be like, hey, have you ever been to Mobile? My assumption, probably not.
I don't know. That artist rendering does the jawline does look pretty striking.
Oh, boy. What James is referring to is the forever running gag on Bob After Dark about the Mobile, Alabama leprechaun scare.
We haven't had that gag in a little while, so, you know, bringing it back.
Appreciate you bringing it back. Could be just a crackhead stuck up in a tree, James.
I want to know where the gold's at. That's all I want to know.
Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
No problem.
So, Panic.
Yeah.
Slender Man. You afraid of him or what?
In theory, yes. Terrifying. But I'm with you, Bob. You know, fictional character. But the fictional work itself is pretty terrifying, I think.
I would say that some of the best things that we have in the world that frighten us are things that we can't explain. And I would say that there hasn't been a fictional story that has caused much panic and scare with the Slender Man as we've had with other stories throughout time. And I think whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, Slenderman is going to go down in history as one of the most terrifying creatures ever talked about. He's up there with the Mothman and, you know, Flatwoods Monster and, you know, things like that. It's a horrifying creature. So that's my two cents. I'm really glad we got a chance to talk about it tonight and share with you guys what we think about Slenderman. Cal Panic, do you have any final words for the audience for the evening?
Well, you know what? After you get us all spooked up like that, not too much. But, you know, Bob, it was a good to have an episode about someone that was such a big thing in a certain time in history. It's still going on, but
yeah,
for a couple years, though, there was nothing that beat Slenderman as far as spooky stuff was going. So good to have this episode.
Excellent. And, folks, just want to say thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Bob After Dark. Before we go, just two bits of news. Anime Milwaukee, I will be there hosting the Paranormal and You panel. That'll be Friday night at 9 p.m. I don't know the room number offhand, but the event is up on Facebook. And Saturday the 29th, myself and Panic are going to be doing the Bob After Dark fan meetup, mm-hmm. where we're teaming up with the Ghostly Podcast. The Ghostly Podcast, Bob After Dark, the duo fan meetups. We're going to be meeting at 2 p.m. on Saturday down by the fountains. Even if you don't have a C2E2 badge, you can come hang out with us by the fountains. It's going to be a really good time. I'm giving away swag. I'm assuming Ghostly will have some swag. So you guys come on out. It's going to be a really good time. But I just wanted to say thank you guys so much for tuning in to Bob After Dark. Mom and Dad, I just want to wish you guys sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the most important rule of Bob After Dark, not all who wander are lost. As above, so below, everybody.
Memoriam Development.